Welcome to the first webinar in our series, It's Time for You to Write That Book 2.0. I'm so glad to have you on this adventure with me. And trust me, we do have an adventure ahead of us. It's the adventurous journey you may have been waiting for a long time. You have made an important decision. No more waiting. No more putting your book on back burner. You are ready to pull your book to the forefront, and you are ready to get this done. Great. So what should you expect during this training? This week, we will begin the journey, and during each two-week period, we'll work on a different aspect of your book. Considering the order in which things must be done, we will attempt first things first and proceed until we get to the finish line. If you stay focused and work hard, you should be well on your way to publishing your book by the end of the 12 weeks. You will have a roadmap to get you to your goal. Some of you might even have your book completed. I can't promise, of course. That depends on your level of determination, your commitment, and your hard work. It also depends on the size of your project. But I can promise that I will do my very best to help you achieve your goals. Every week, we will have homework and bonus tools to assist the mission. As you follow the path and do the work necessary, your path will become clearer. You will see your work come together in a way that will delight you and benefit your readers. Remember, too, that our private Facebook group will be available for us to ask questions and help each other. I will be checking in regularly for discussion, and so will many others. Okay, now in this first webinar, we'll be talking about planning your book, developing your outline, and your chapters with possible titles for your chapters. So let's get started. Now first, I want you to close your eyes for a minute and dream with me. I want you to see yourself at a table in a large, expansive Books-A-Million. There is a line of excited customers waiting for your signature. You have a pen in your hand and a stack of books on the table beside you. Your books. The beautiful cover is almost smiling at you. Earlier today, you checked your calendar for your most recent schedule and you noticed that next week, the local newspaper wants to interview you and you have a date penciled in for your TV interview. It's a busy time. So exciting. The day has finally come. All of that work you put into your book has paid off. People are reading and growing because of what you wrote. You take a deep breath and look around in the awe of the sight. You are now a published author. So now let's switch gears. Now you are standing before a rather small crowd of people at your church. This is a conference, and you are the main speaker. Some of the leaders read your book and are eager to hear you inspire their audience. You have been invited to do this several times now, and you're getting used to this phase of your life. It's exhilarating to be in front of the crowd and know that what you are saying will impact them. The book table in the adjoining room has some of your books, and you will be signing copies after you talk. Or, think about this. It's Christmas time, and the entire family is sitting around the tree. You can hardly wait for your present to all of them to be handed out. It's a surprise. You didn't tell your family members who live across the country that you have been working very hard on this book. It's your memoirs. You share many of the tidbits of inspiration and wisdom you have accumulated over the years. When the first copy is opened, the room is filled with cheers and laughter. They are so very proud of you. You have written a book they can enjoy and hand down to their children. It's remarkable. Now, all of these scenarios are commonplace for published authors. You maybe want your book to be a tool for expanding your career and your influence. You may want to receive more invitations for speaking engagements. You may want to increase your income with book sales. Or you might just want to leave a legacy for your children and grandchildren. All of these are valid reasons for writing your book. Your reasons are your own. The type of book you write might be very different from others. That's okay. It's your book. But the methods of getting to the end result are very similar. You decide what you want to do and for what reasons. Then you begin and you continue the journey to get there. So let's get started. I want to tell you my favorite poem by Ogden Nash. A centipede was happy quite, until a frog in fun said, "Say, which leg comes after which?" After which he lay distracted in the ditch, considering how to run. I have laughed at this so many times, my friends, because this is a picture of me sometimes. This is the very definition of overwhelm. What the caterpillar could have accomplished any other time suddenly became impossible. Overwhelm is one of our biggest enemies. I've been there. Have you? There have been times when I paralyzed myself by overthinking how to proceed. I've learned that the best way to avoid this syndrome is to focus my thought really well at the beginning of my projects. Then I can proceed with a greater degree of clarity and confidence, knowing where I'm going and focusing on the end result. So let's do some dedicated thinking at the beginning and forego the centipede syndrome later on. Let me ask you, why are you writing your book? As we looked at some scenarios earlier, you could see that there are many different reasons for your book. Of course, it will lend credibility to your overall mission. It might bring great publicity and more exposure. It could just be your business card for increased credibility. And hopefully, it will bring you some added income. Those are some good, valid reasons for writing. But your greatest motivation won't come from what the book will do for you. In fact, your best book won't come from just a selfish motivation. What will really motivate you to start and finish your own book and do a great job is the fact that you will be doing it for others. I find that when someone's writing will bring positive change to others, they will be more compelled to complete their work. Also, when their motive is other-directed, they will dig deeper for the answers they need to help their readers. Even when you are writing an autobiography or memoirs, the lessons and insights you have gathered along the way will help others. They'll be encouraged not to make the same mistakes. And if they have made those mistakes, they'll be encouraged not to give up, to move on. So give some dedicated thought to your big why. In fact, this big why is the first of three major questions that we have to settle right at the beginning. We want to know why we are doing this. Why are we writing this book? Because that will just cause you to propel toward your goal. The next thing we need to settle is your audience. Who are they? Who will listen to you? Who will you help the most? Now, occasionally someone will say, "Oh, everybody. I'm writing for everybody. My message is for every single person. They will all receive from me and be helped by what I say." On the surface, this approach might seem like you'll be able to have a greater impact, but that's wrong, my friend. It's a fallacy. There's a saying, when you write for everyone, you write for no one. When you're thinking of everyone, you end up watering down your message. You hit the high spots for everyone, and the significance of your work gets diluted. Then when you dilute your message, it's not as impactful for anyone. So let's think of who your special audience is really. Others may read it, but who is your special audience? First, who is drawn to you when you're in a crowd of people? You know those people who seem to come over to you and want to talk to you. And for that matter, who draws your attention? Who are the people that you want to approach when you're in a crowd? Who especially draws your compassion? You know those people when you hear a story or an anecdote about somebody that almost makes you tear up or makes you really feel a sadness for them or a joy for them. And who listens to you when you are talking? And when you are thinking about your message, who will receive the most help for what you have to say? Then picture this person in your mind. Bring it down to that perfect person to read your book. That is what is called your avatar, the perfect person for your audience. Is that person a businessman or woman? A single mom? A student? Then think on deeper levels. Is this person rich or poor? How much education do they have? Do they prefer city life or more rural life? How old are they? There are some writers who actually have a composite, a picture they have created on their bulletin board in their office. Sometimes it's one they have drawn, and sometimes it's a picture cut out of a magazine. They glance at that person as they write or speak. You might say, why is this so important? Your avatar will determine your message and your tone of voice. The way you would speak to a career military office, a stay-at-home mom, or a troubled teen would not be the same. These personas have different problems, different viewpoints, different needs. And besides that, different jargon would be more appropriate for each. Then, will you be writing a casual style or a more formal style? Will you use slang, contemporary lingo, more conservative language? So think about who it is who will receive the most from your book, and that will be your avatar, a person who is the symbol for your audience. At the end of this webinar, we're going to have homework, and part of that homework will be for you to define your avatar. So we'll be thinking about that more later. Right now, let's move on to the next big question. What is your message? It's time to clarify what you want to say in your book. How do you want to help these people? And what do you want to accomplish? You might have a message that's burning in your heart that you have thought about many times. Or maybe your thoughts are scattered and you aren't sure what you want to say. Either way, a good place to start will be to write down your thoughts as they come. They will be random and sometimes unrelated at first. Later we'll talk about this more, but right now I want to say that it's a good idea to write something every day. You might think you don't know what to say at first, but as you write, you will begin to see a greater flow of words. So write, and write some more. After all, you are becoming a writer. These snippets of thought will be like puzzle pieces, and you will begin to see a logical pattern, a logical flow to your ideas. How do they fit together? Some of them won't fit at all, so you'll not even use them in this book. Others will slip right into place, and you'll begin to see a pattern emerge. As you proceed, you will often find new related ideas coming to mind. That's great. Write those down. More puzzle pieces. When you have enough pieces in place, then it's time to write your outline. So now we have answered why, who, and what, and now it's time for your outline. Where do you want to start? And where do you want to go with your ideas? How do you want to conclude? How do you want to impact the lives of those who read this book? What will be their takeaways? The more time we spend and more thought we give at this point, the more confidence we'll have to proceed with our work. All of this is extremely significant. You probably remember some of your house hunting adventures. I do too. My husband and I have moved several times, and every move has required house hunting. Several years ago, we saw one house which looked beautiful from the outside. But when we entered and started inspecting the detail, we found the amateurish work of a do-it-yourselfer who was truly haphazard. Certain rooms had been rewired with odd wires going everywhere. You would have to have an owner's manual to know how to turn on the lights. And the plumbing? I'm not even going to go there. You could tell that the prior owner had worked without any plan. He would just get his equipment together and start pounding or drilling or hammering. It looked okay from the outside, but it didn't work too well, and it was truly confusing if someone had to make some repairs. That's why when builders build a house, they use a blueprint. Every detail is drawn in the plan, the length, the width, the depth of every board, the placement of every stud. The greater the house, the more detailed the drawing. Well, the builder's blueprint is like our outline. The more thought we put into this outline and the more detail, the better our finished product will be. There needs to be a logical flow to our work. Where do we start and where do we finish? If we just take every thought that comes to mind and put it in any order, our readers won't get much out of it. Like we said earlier, it's fine to write down random thoughts for ourselves to ponder, and we'll use some of these in our book. But for this book, we need to put them in some order. Eventually, they have to go into an order, because we want to lead them on a journey of thought which will bring them to some life-changing conclusions, or inspiration, or overall enjoyment. Now, don't think that you can't make some changes as you go along. Of course, you can, and you will. But when you allow yourself to take the time to have a clear overall picture, the changes you make won't be like the centipede we talked about. You won't be paralyzed by confusion. You will still know where you're going and just make some tweaks to get there. So let's use another analogy. When you board a jet to fly from New York to Amsterdam, there's a definite destination and a definite flight plan. However, along the way, there will be many adjustments to the trip because of wind currents, weather, etc. Yet the final destination will be the same, and so will be the general direction. When you think of your book journey as being similar, you will be free to make the necessary adjustments without thinking you have to start over on your entire mission. When you begin your work with a good outline, a good blueprint, a good flight plan, you will find your writing much easier. Now, in this series of webinars, we're talking about nonfiction books here, books which will add value, either educational or inspirational, to the lives of those who read them. So all the plans that we're talking about are going to be for nonfiction books. So what is the logical progression of your ideas? Is your book a biography or your autobiography? The logical order could be chronological. Is it concerning parenting? You might want to lay a foundation of your values as a parent. Is it for businessmen? You will need to first establish your credibility so that they will want to take your advice. Are you writing for young mothers? Let them know you have been there. People want to know who is writing this book. So in every case, one of the first items on your outline will be your introduction. We'll talk more about the introduction in the next session, but now let's just talk about a few high points. In almost every type of book, background is significant. Why should people listen to you? What causes your advice to be important? What obstacles have you overcome? How have you come to the place of being able to understand their problems and advise them on solutions? What are your successes in your field? You don't have to be arrogant, but people want to know that the advice or information they're receiving is coming from a reputable source. Why should they listen to you? Then right behind your credibility, or in some cases before, should be the motivation for your readers to continue to read. What success can they expect in their lives if they listen to you? Often you will see the first few chapters focusing on this motivation, inspiring the readers to continue reading and to receive the rewards promised or suggested when they apply this new knowledge. You'll want to paint pictures of that success. What will it be like to look in the mirror and see a person 50 pounds thinner? Or how will it feel to have your child bring home a report card with A's for the very first time? Or what will it be like to look at your bank statement and see more money coming in? Or to have your husband or wife tell you how much they love you? These are all results people are eager to have in their lives. They are reasons to purchase your book and to keep reading it to the end. People want to read your book and find some benefits at the end. You want to help your readers to have their lives change because of knowing you, to find unprecedented results because of your book, your ideas, your advice. You might notice that I have used the word feel a lot during this segment. People are motivated and led by their emotions. We'll talk more about this in a couple of weeks when we dig into writing techniques, but right now think about the emotions of your avatar, your readers. The more you can involve their expectations and their emotions, the better you will be at capturing their interest and holding it. So idea by idea, thought by thought, write out your plan, your outline for this book. It starts with your introduction and continues with motivation for the reader, then builds in an orderly way. Idea by idea, thought by thought, it builds to the conclusion. Your final outline item should be the conclusion. That's where you might recap some of what you have said. You leave your readers with a significant thought they have encountered in your book, and you might give them a charge to go and do what you've talked about. So there you have your outline. Now, do you notice anything? It might not pop out right now very well, but this outline can become your chapters. So the time you have spent on the outline pays double. You not only have your plan, you have the ideas for your chapters. Wow, that's a great start, isn't it? Now your chapters need a little more attention. You want the titles to be enticing to the readers, so you'll want to use catchy phrases or what some people call power words. There are many ways to write good chapter titles. As you lay out your plan for chapters, you might see an obvious plan for your titles as well. One thing to remember, let your titles focus on the reader and what each chapter will mean for them. Involve their emotions to draw them in. Best ways to do so-and-so. 3 reasons you should never, blah, blah, blah. Sometimes good chapter titles might arouse the reader's curiosity. Why this bird didn't fly south? Which foods are best for weight loss? I'll give you some examples from some of my books. In my book, Forever Upward, A Mother's Journey Through Prayer, I had some titles that leaned on curiosity. Farming with God. People would say, what is that all about? Or Encounter with Jesus. Or Abraham, Who Are You? These would make people wonder what I meant by the titles so that they would delve deeper to read. But then others were more toward emotions. Like the ones, Are You Ready to Forgive? Wanting to forgive that horrible person is something that almost everybody wants to do. Or what about this? Woman of Power. Most women want to be a powerful woman, so it's easy to see that they would like to read that chapter. Then in my book, Extraordinary, The Remarkable Life of Bishop Hardy Lee Coleman, Sr., this was such a delightful book to write. This book was a biography of one of the most inspirational men I have ever known. He was an African-American man, a sharecropper's son who grew up in the segregated South from the most humble beginnings, and he grew to be a fireball of a minister who impacted all of his region. He eventually started churches throughout the South and even the mid-southern region of the United States. This was a chronological book. So some of my chapters were rather simple, like Life in Benton County. But others were to arouse interest, curiosity. The Preacher Gets a Bride. A Family Grows in Memphis. Then there were other titles that evoked emotions, like, for instance, Miracles in Mississippi. I would suggest that you spend some time in prayer and thinking about your titles. And of course, I'll say it again, when we're doing these things in the early stages, we may change them later on. That's okay, but just get an idea for the direction you're going. You want your readers to have a desire to read the chapters, so you want to have enticing chapter titles. Okay, we've covered a lot of territory already, so take a deep breath and realize that we're going to have some time to implement this. After all, implementing is the most important part of what we're doing. We talked about the why, the who, and the what of your book. We also talked about writing down your ideas and putting them into some sort of order, and even assigning chapters and coming up with titles. Now, believe me, this is not just a one-day job, so don't be overwhelmed. Take the steps in order and spend some time on each one. Decide every day how much time you're going to be willing to spend on this book. And if you will spend some time every day, you will begin to see your plans coming into focus. You will be able to go back and listen to this webinar again and again. And at the bottom of the webinar page, you'll find a PDF transcript available for you to print out and read exactly what was said. You'll be able to spend as much time as you need to apply these techniques to your work. Remember, This is a system, and one which works for most people. As we continue in the course, you'll gain more and more confidence that your book will be a success. This is your project and your timeline. Some will be ready to do this quickly, and others will take much longer. Either way, it's okay. You may want to go ahead with the second part of this webinar right now, or you may want to put it off to another day. Just make sure that today you join the Facebook group. That's where we will be discussing questions and sharing our work with others. We want you to be successful in your writing, and so feel free to participate in the discussion. We're all in this together, and we'll help each other. One last thing. Please let me encourage you to do your homework. Those assignments at the bottom of the webinar page are really important. You can download the PDFs for your convenience. And if you start writing something every day, even if what you say is sketchy, you will find your juices flowing and you will find your confidence growing. This system has worked for me, and I believe that if you apply it yourself, it will work for you also. Okay, that's it for this webinar. See you next time.